We've been going through this series of lessons, and there's a few more of these. After this one, there'll be four more. But anyway, is our Church of Christ a denomination? And of course, we have repeatedly said the answer is no. And so we're going to talk, we've talked about different aspects of the church. We're going to talk about the doctrine of the church today. And you start thinking, man, the doctrine, that's a lot of stuff to cover. Well, I'm not going that direction. We're going to take this in a different direction. All right, we've seen what makes a denomination is the specific and unique practices of that particular group. I mean, there's this group, there's that group, and so forth, and they all have their own distinctive doctrines and their own teachings that they do. And so we know that, and we've noted many of these groups have had division over the changes in the doctrine that is being taught by that group. And that's what they do. They all gather together, sometimes large groups, they gather together in a convention, and someone suggests, well, let's believe this. And others say, oh no, we can't do that. God wouldn't want us to change what we believe, but some say, I want to do it anyway. So guess what? There's a division takes place. Then we have this group goes off that direction this way. Sometimes they modify their name a little bit, or sometimes they just come up with a whole different name. And we have that. Some want to hold to their truth. I mean, it's their truth because they've already compromised God's word. They want to hold to their truth, but yet they don't want to jump this far. You know, 30 years ago, there wasn't a denomination that really would allow the LGBTQRST group to come into their assemblies. And then all of a sudden they started embracing it. And now the ones that won't embrace it, they're kind of labeled as some of those far-off fundamental, some call them leftists, some call them rightists, but they just won't be tolerated. But see, these people hold to their own truth. Whatever they get in their mind, that becomes their truth. There is no subjective standard of truth. It's what I say is truth. That's the postmodernism that our society has been in. Post-truth is more accurate because truth now becomes what I feel it is. And so that's how these people do. And so they're unwilling to compromise their personal convictions. So guess what? Well, I'm going to go off and take a bunch of people with me and we'll start a new group. That's how they do it. And a lot of people are just ready and willing to compromise whatever. And so this is one reason there are so many different groups out there that claim to be part of Christ, yet they teach things that are contrary to what Christ taught and what we have revealed in the Bible. See, that's what's important. You know, every one of those folks would say, this is where our truth comes from. They hold up their Bible, say, this is my Bible. You remember Joel Osteen? That's his little thing. This is my Bible. Yeah, okay. But you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't do this. He does not open up the Word of God to see what it says. Oh, this is my Bible. This is what I believe in. A closed Bible. When you have a closed Bible, what are you open to? You're open to anything. You start opening this Word, all of a sudden you have limitations placed upon you. And people do not like limitations. They do not like to be told they can't do something. And a lot of people are like that, right? Tell them they can't do it. Oh, I'll show you. I'll do it. See, not a few of these church leaders have declared that Jesus and his apostles were wrong for what they taught. I've heard them on the newscast and interviews with different people. And, well, when it comes to this subject, Jesus was wrong. Or the apostles were wrong. They shouldn't have taught that because that's not the way God is. Well, that's exactly the way God is. They just don't want to accept that fact. And so we've looked at so far in our study, the nature of the church, the name of the church, the work of the church, and trying to understand Bible authority. And so we're going to look at the doctrine of the church. See, the doctrine of the church is the church that Jesus built. Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what Jesus told Peter. And, of course, the reason he said that upon this foundation, upon this rock, what was he talking about? He had just asked his disciples, well, who do men say that I am? And they responded by saying, well, some say you're Esaias or Isaiah the prophet. Some say you're John reincarnated. Some say you're somebody else. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which is a truism. And Jesus said, you answered correctly, Peter. And upon this foundation, the foundation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that is the foundation which he established it on. And we read that Jesus is that foundation. In fact, he's the very cornerstone of that foundation. And we are being built upon that foundation, as Byron alluded to in his comments. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 3, we are being built up as living stones into a spiritual house. And of course, in Ephesians chapter 4, we read about this house, how God helped it along by giving them apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers to build up the body to the measure and stature of Christ. So the use of such various doctrines constitutes vain worship. Matthew 15:9, he talked about these people teaching his doctrine the commandments of men. When you're teaching the commandments of men, and here's the sad thing about it, folks. The very sad thing about it is these people get up there and give them the commandments of men, and people accept it and think that they're right in the sight of God. That's the sad thing about it, because they're going to be lost. They're going to end up in hell, and they're just as sincere as they can be, and they think they're serving God from the bottom of their heart. They've been told by man, well, this is all you have to do, this is all you have to believe, this is all you have to practice. And they haven't been told the whole truth. They haven't been told the truth of God's word. And so they're going through a delusional state. Hey, I'm on my way to heaven. You talk to them, they'll tell you, oh, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. And yet they have not obeyed the gospel. They have not done what God wants them to do. And that's the sad part about it. They're sincere. We cannot question the sincerity of these people for doing what they believe in. The problem is their leaders have been leading them the wrong direction. See, it doesn't uphold any teaching that originated within the church. See, the teaching that originated, that we hold to, originated with God. It wasn't the church that did it. Now, you start looking at the Catholic Church. They've made their own rules. And they have a lot of rules and procedures they follow that originated, what they say, in the church. And they say the church is just as divine as the Bible. Just as divine as the leadership, which is basically the Pope speaking as ex cathedra from the throne and giving new messages of God. At least that's what they say. But see, here's the problem. When the Pope gets up and says something, it contradicts what God has already said. But yet them idiots still hang on to this guy as something special. They need to wake up. You see all the corruption in the Catholic Church. You see all the wickedness in the Catholic Church. All the sexual sins going on in the Catholic Church. And you wonder why people hanging on to it? Because it's easy. They can live like they want to live. All they have to do is run in, make a little confession, give the priest a little bit of excitement there, and tell them all their details, all their sordid details. And the priest, well, just say a couple Hail Marys and do a rosary a couple times, and I absolve you of your sins. No man has the right to do that. And the church does not do it. There is, however, doctrine from the Lord that the church follows. As I said, it's found in the Word of God. That is our doctrine. That's what we need to hold to. So consider what the New Testament reveals about that doctrine. And here's the first point, and this might surprise some people, but the first point is, there is only one doctrine. There is only one doctrine. Now you look at the state of the denominational world, you've got thousands of doctrines out there. And a lot of them are saying, well, one church is just as good as another. with the thousands of doctrines. There is only one doctrine. See, Paul urged Timothy, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. In other words, don't teach any falsehood. Don't teach anything that's different, as he told the Galatians there. And so there is only one true doctrine, the one true body, the Spirit, hope, Lord, baptism, and God. There is only one faith. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6 tells us that. There is one. There is one doctrine. And so this suggests the need for unity in doctrine. And so when you have these thousands of groups out there all practicing and teaching different things, they're not united. And we'll talk about unity in a future lesson. So to teach something other than the doctrine of Christ is to teach a perversion, as we heard from our scripture reading. It is a perversion. It is not the gospel. These people are teaching you falsehood. And what's going to happen? They're going to be condemned for it. They're going to be condemned for teaching falsehood, but also he warned the Galatians, you'll be condemned for following that falsehood. Some people want to say, well, whatever the preacher says, that's good enough for me. Uh-uh, that's not according to the scriptures. All right, something else about this doctrine is it is sound. All right, Titus was instructed, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. And that went, and the message that Paul gave to Timothy and Titus is one that's expanded to everybody who takes on that role as evangelist. Everyone who takes on that role as Christian, we're all under this order from the Apostle Paul. Speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Now, to be sound basically means to be wholesome, pure, and uncorrupted. The original word for sound comes from a Greek word which means without wax. Now, what does that mean? Well, years ago, when there were people in the marketplace, there were some shady dealers in there, and they'd craft themselves a canister of some sort, you know, out of the clay, then they put it in the fire pit. Sometimes when it came out of the fire pit, it might have a crack in it, and it might break, so they put it together with wax, and then they paint over it. So somebody comes up, oh, what a pretty vase, what a pretty container. But as soon as you pour some hot water in it, what's going to happen? It's just going to do that. So what people would do is they would take this container when they go to the marketplace, because they knew a lot of people were shady, and they would hold it up to the sun, and if they saw any light inside, they'd know it had wax, and so it wasn't sound. And so, that same idea. If there's a flaw, we don't want it. So, to be sound is that way, to be pure, uncorrupted, without any flaws. So the Lord's church is careful not to add or take away from the inspired Word of God. Yes, we have that command. God's always had that command to his people. Back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy told the people, don't add to it, don't take away from it. Don't stray from the right to the left, as Joshua was told. And so that we're not to do any of this. And so if we leave something out, which a lot of people do, if we leave something out, then we're not sound. It is a perversion. And that's why we demand, thus saith the Lord, or a book, chapter, and verse type preaching. You know, 100 years ago, practically every group out there kind of demanded the same thing. What does the Lord say? And a lot of people would be able to give a biblical answer, what the Lord says. But then they started changing. And they changed rapidly. They change based on public opinion. They change to give people what they want. You know, when Paul told Timothy, the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine, wishing to have their ears tickled. Guess what? Hey, we can get a lot of people following us if we'll give them what they want. And that's basically what happens in every denomination out there. They give people what they want. But when you follow book, chapter, and verse preaching and teaching, and lessons from the Word of God, and following the principles that Christ established, it is proven more in line with the Bible than all the personal feelings that men have about serving God. And as we've said and pointed out many times in the denominations, that's really all it comes down to. Doing what I want to do. That's what it comes down to. Not what does the Lord require of me? What does the Lord want me to do? Because they've already discounted that. They've already eliminated the Bible as being any sort of authority. And so they're going to do what they want to do. Something else about this doctrine of the church is it is good. See, if Timothy would preach the truth, Paul told him he would be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. You follow the doctrine that was taught to you, Timothy. I taught you that doctrine. I'm an apostle of God and I taught you that doctrine. You follow it and you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. If someone wants to be a good minister of Jesus Christ today, they've got to follow the good doctrine. And that's what they should do. And sadly, there's a lot of them don't do it. Even those who claim to be faithful gospel preachers, some of them fail to teach the good doctrine. The doctrine Timothy followed was good because it was God's power to salvation. We know that. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So today the Lord's church continually holds fast to the same doctrine. What doctrine? The doctrine we find in the Word of God. The teachings that come from Christ. The teaching that comes from God. Because those words, as Christ said, I know His words are eternal life. John chapter 12 and verse 50 tells us that. So the words of God are eternal life. Here's something else about this, which some people don't emphasize, but yet we do. The doctrine is to be heeded, paid attention to, and followed. See, great things result when one accepts the doctrine of Christ and limits themselves to the doctrine of Christ. See, the same cannot be said of those who heed the doctrines of men. Why? Because the doctrines of men keep changing. They keep flipping around and rotating. Where 20 years ago they said something was wrong, now they fully embrace it. 50 years ago, every church in this land was standing up against abortion. Oh no, we don't want that. Now that all these various priests and ministers are giving praise to Planned Parenthood, the baby killing company, and they're just praising them for giving people a choice. And see, that's what it all comes down to, right? It's all about the choice. And they don't care what God said or God demands or what God wants. It's all about the choice. See, members of the Lord's church consider personally Paul's instructions to Timothy when he wrote, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That's why we have to stick to the doctrine of Christ, the Word of God. When we stray from the Word of God, we have left the gospel of Christ. When we stray from the Word of God, we have perverted the doctrine of Christ. See, only the doctrine of Christ can make that promise. See, no other doctrine out there that the denominations hold to can make the promise of salvation. Oh, they blindly say, oh yeah, do this, you'll be saved. They say a lot of things about how you can be saved. Just say the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. Where do you find that in the Bible? It's not there. We're still looking for it. It's not there. Or where does the idea of faith only come in? Well, as long as you have faith, you're going to be saved. Where do you read about it? There's only one place in the Bible that says faith only, and that's James 2:24. It says, not by faith only. We're saved based on our works, not by faith only. So these people kind of twist the Word of God to suit their wants and desires. As I said, it was to be heeded, it is to be obeyed. The Christians in Rome were commended for their obedience to the gospel in the first century. Of them it was said, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And what was that form of doctrine? It was the same teaching that we teach today from the Word of God. How to become a Christian. How to become saved. How to be added to the church. It's the same doctrine. You believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You repent of your sins. You confess his name. And you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you become a Christian. Then your duty is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then to share with others what you've learned. That's where we're supposed to. Since they obeyed the proper form of doctrine, they were set free from sin. That's how we are set free from sin. That's what Jesus said, you know, the truth shall make you free when you practice the truth. It'll set you free from sin. Romans 6 and verse 18. And we know that obedience is the key to salvation. In Hebrews 5, 9, Jesus Christ, the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. See, a lot of people want to leave that second half of the verse out. Oh, Jesus Christ, the author of salvation, period, for most people. Well, since he made salvation, it's for everybody. And they just ignore that part that says to all those who obey him. See, they don't like that word obedience. The denominations do not like that word obedience. And people who haven't subjected themselves to God do not like that word obedience. Obedience means you have to do something, and it's usually the will of somebody else, right? It usually is the will of somebody else. And they don't want to be told by anybody how they're supposed to live their life. I had a coworker tell me one time, well, I will not serve a God who demands obedience. I said, I can't do anything for you, and I walked away. I mean, what else can you do? See, the Lord's church emphasizes such. And this is what we do. We demand obedience. The Bible commands obedience. And those who aren't obedient are going to be lost. That's why we encourage everyone to be obedient to God's commands, whatever commands they are. And you don't have to sit down and make you a list of all the important commands, kind of like we talked in class this morning. When they came up and said, Jesus, what's the greatest command? All they want to know, okay, well, as long as I do that, I'm okay. And they ignored the rest of the commands. And that's what the Pharisees were guilty of. They just picked out a few that they really liked and wanted to hold on to, and yet they ignored all the rest of the commands of God. That's what a lot of people want to do. They pick and choose. It's kind of like a buffet line. You go through and you like a little of this, you want a little bit of that, you want a little bit of this. Oh, I'm not going to touch that. And that's how people are with the Word of God. Well, yeah, God is love. Okay, I'll accept that. Our God is a fierce, awesome God. Yeah, okay. But our God is a consuming fire. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't want that. Not only are we to heed it and obey it, we are to abide in our doctrine. See, John taught, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. Because the next verse says, by participating, by giving him the greeting, you participate in his evil deeds. Whoever does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Where do we find the doctrine of Christ? In the Word of God. That's where we find it. And if you decide you want to go to man's thinking, man's reasoning, man's feelings for your doctrine, guess what? You don't have God. You are separated from God. But if you come to the Word of God and abide in that doctrine and heed it and obey it and stay in it, you have not only God, but you also have Jesus in your life. And if anyone comes and doesn't bring that doctrine, you got to reject them. I mean, you got to be courteous to people, but if they're not bringing the truth, no. You cannot say, well, I wish you Godspeed on your journey, whatever you're doing. If they're going to go and teach people falsehood and error, you cannot do that. But yet, just because some guy's wearing a turnaround collar or some robe or something, we go, hey, God be with you and all that stuff. No, that cannot be done. We should not do that. As the old fellow said, that passage says what it means what it says. And that's basically how we try and approach the Word of God. God said it, and that settles it. I don't, whether I believe it or not, it's still settled by God because He said it. See, the sad thing about the doctrine that'll bring about our salvation, it's not desired by everybody. How do we know that? Just look out there and see the thousands of denominations out there. Yeah, it's not desired by everybody. And even in a lot of churches of Christ, they don't want to really strictly hold to the Word of God. They want to go by feelings and emotions. As we said, 2 Timothy 4:3, the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine. And that is the sad state of affairs in our world today. People don't like the truth. The truth makes them uncomfortable. So they change. They change whatever is the truth into something that's more palatable to them. But the question for you is, how do you follow the doctrine of Christ? And if you read, you heed, you follow, abide, obey what the Scriptures teach, and stay there, guess what? God will be happy with you. And you can ensure your salvation by doing those things. But if you leave in any of these areas, your salvation is not guaranteed. It's just that simple. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's very simple. You follow the Word of God, or you'll end up in hell. Can't say it any plainer than that. Consider those thoughts, people. We talked about the plan of salvation that God established from before the foundation of the world. He established in Jesus Christ. There is a hope for us to be reconciled to God, and Jesus Christ is that hope. To believe the gospel and obey the gospel, to have your sins washed away in baptism and then become a child of God and live faithful. That's what He wants from you. That's what He wants from everybody. So do those things. And we're going to stand here and we're going to offer this invitation. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.